show.
She was doing a great job of feint. That is it.
We're listening to Pound for Pound, ringside for all things MMA and boxing on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to Pound for Pound. I'm your host, Andrew Canary, alongside Zach Cordova, Mahdi Dembele. We got Kurt Sippel on the sticks back there producing, killing it. Guys, how are we doing?
I'm a little tired, man. Hey, we're here on finals week. We're at the home stretch. But a lot of exciting things in sports going on. A very exciting past weekend with that Ryan Garcia-Devin Haney fight. Kind of shocked the world there, but I'm excited to get into that one. But, Mahdi, how are you doing?
I mean, it's been a super huge week in sports. I mean, I'm still getting off of the high of the press conferences that we were able to get through. Thank you, WFUV, courtesy of WFUV.
Definitely.
But, Ryan shocks the world. I'm excited to talk about it, guys. We could just jump right in.
Yeah, no, let's definitely jump right in. And, I mean, we were covering that event leading up to the fight. We were at Gleason's Boxing Gym. We were also at Barclays Center covering the press conference. And I mean, I can speak at least for myself. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but heading into that fight, I was extremely worried about Ryan Garcia. I did not know if he was even going to show up. Part of me thought that he might just pull out of the fight last minute. And even if he did show up, I thought that he wasn't going to look good. So, I mean, what were your guys' just feelings on Ryan Garcia's antics heading into the fight? Did you think he was going to be serious or not?
I mean, it was a weird thing to see him kind of go through, because I feel like this is a more common thing in MMA where you have guys kind of almost playing a persona and just putting on something to promote a fight.
Like a
Colby Covington. Even, I wouldn't say Conor McGregor, but you see how Conor McGregor outside of the cage, and it brings excitement around his fights because he's one of the best on the mic. He's one of the best at just trash-talking people and just doing hilarious things. Well, Ryan Garcia got a little dark with some of the things that he was going on about, and it was worrying to see him go through that. And a lot of the talk was Ryan Garcia even going to make it to the fight? And he did. And not only did he make it to the fight, he showed out and he completely, completely shocked the world. I don't know how many people saw it coming, except for you, Andrew, apparently.
Yeah.
You got that right last week.
I mean, so. I was worried about that pick, I'm not going to lie. But yeah, Ryan Garcia getting the win via majority decision, 112-112, 114-110, and then finally 115-109 going to Ryan Garcia. It was a close fight at times, but other times it really seemed like it could have been stopped in favor of Garcia. So, I mean, yeah, let's just break down this fight. I mean, right at the beginning, Garcia lands a massive left hook on Haney and wobbles him almost instantly. And I think that really set the tone for the entirety of the fight. And while Haney started to kind of work into the fight in a couple of those middle rounds, I want to say round 2, 3, 4, by the time I also got to round 7, it just seemed kind of like the Ryan Garcia show. I mean, we could talk about his defensive incapabilities and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, that left hook was hitting, and when it landed a lot, and it landed powerfully.
I mean, I think a lot of people underrate Ryan Garcia. It's very, very clear that he's not a B-level fighter, or we didn't think of him as like an A-level fighter. He beat the Luke Campbells of the world, which was probably his best fight up until that point. That's probably the fight that got him the Gervonta Tank Davis fight. But he's really proven that he's here to stay at that division. And I just want to take it back quickly, just the mind games, the method to his madness. I seen somewhere on YouTube, I forget the YouTuber's name, and it's brilliant. He says it's like Muhammad Ali. He's not like Muhammad Ali, but it's like Muhammad Ali. When he fought Sonny Liston, right? You have this big mouth pretty boy who's running around saying he was going to destroy Liston, and we saw nothing from him from his fight camp. And everybody was like, what are you talking about? You're not going to take out Sonny Liston with the perfect jab. Who does that remind you of, the perfect jab? Devin Haney. And he goes out there and he takes the fight. I mean, Zach, you say it should have been ended, what, round 2? I mean, if Ryan's able to get that left hook off, he could be anybody in the world. It's ridiculous. He's calling out boots. I'd pump the brakes there. But, I mean, like, just the jab and then the left hook and Dev goes crashing down, and it's almost sad to see because Dev has a fighting heart. He crawls he digs in his crawl is what I'm trying to say, and he kept getting back up, heart of a champion. But Ryan Garcia shocked the world, and I can't.
Yeah, true heart of champion. I mean, he really also tried to sell it. Like, he won the fight at the end, which we were talking about before this pod started, where he fell through the ropes even. Yeah. I mean, if that's not a symbol of kind of how that fight went for him, I don't know what is. But I will say credit to Devin Haney. I mean, I want to kind of call out the incapabilities of the ref to kind of in certain respects. I think that they allowed way too much clinching when Haney got hurt. But credit to Haney. I mean, he survived in that fight. He went the full distance. And, I mean, technically he retained his belt because of the weight miss. Ridiculous to even think about. Zach, on it, do you have a take on that?
It's... I mean, he keeps the belt because Ryan didn't do what he needed to do. It's a contractual agreement. You have to make weight. And he knew before he even got on the scale that he was not going to make weight. I don't know if you guys saw, he posted a screenshot of him talking to Floyd Mayweather.
Yes.
And he asked Floyd Mayweather how much he should go in over, and Floyd told him 3 pounds. So he said, okay, 3 pounds it is. So you have a contractual agreement. You can't win a belt unless you make the weight, and that's championship weight. But Devin Haney retaining the belt after getting beaten up like that almost feels a little bit wrong. Yeah. And even celebrating that you kept the belt after getting beat up like that really feels wrong, especially after all of the talk of fight week, his whole camp kind of even challenging. I don't know if you guys remember, that was like the highlight of the press conference, I feel like, is they were telling Ryan they wanted to meet him in the center of the ring. They wanted to throw down in the middle of the ring, and we saw what happened is when you go punch for punch, Ryan has so much more power.
In hindsight, I don't know why they asked for that, because Ryan Garcia immediately answered. He's like, yeah, man, sure, of course. Like, why
it's
not?
The fighting
he told
spirit.
Him it was stupid. That's exactly what he said. And he went out there and showed it that was not a good game plan.
No,
I mean,
not
it's
at all.
It's the fighting spirit in Dev again, but sometimes the absence of, like, sense beats that. Like, Ryan has a very, very short memory. And this is something really we can say about both guys. They push the sport forward. They're two of the most... probably the most active guys, because we talk about the culture of boxing all the time, about how guys are scared of losing their O. There's a low entry of boxing. You fight tomato cans, and then you want to keep that record perfect. Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney, but more so Ryan Garcia in this sense, they don't care about that. They're here to swat, and I thought Devin Haney was going to be able to swat with Ryan Garcia. Everybody's just like, Ryan's speed, but Ryan with the power just put him out. And,
it's really interesting also thinking about their amateur fights also, because, I mean, I've seen some footage from it, and also especially, like, you know, the decisions after, because I don't think any of them ended in finish.
Yeah.
And both of those guys look completely clean, Garcia and Haney. So, I mean, I think it just shows the difference between amateur boxing and professional boxing in certain regards, because I feel like Garcia's power lends himself more to a professional career rather than an amateur one. But another interesting stat I did want to highlight was Garcia's lack of jab. His coach, I'm forgetting his name, was it Derek White?
Derek James.
Yeah.
Used to train Errol Spence.
Yeah. Derek James, yeah. He, in between rounds, was literally screaming at Ryan Garcia, please use the jab. Work off the jab. It's setting up your left hook. And he was right. It was 100% setting up that left hook. But when everything was said and done, Ryan Garcia only landed 11 jabs in that fight. He threw 54 and only landed 11. That averages to, like, maybe like 5 jabs per round.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's crazy. So I don't know. Everyone is, I feel like, very quick to kind of, praise Ryan Garcia for his performance and also the antics leading up to the fight and kind of showing him as, like, a mastermind. But I don't know. There's definitely some incapabilities and things that he's overlooking in his career,
well,
I feel like
I feel like that incapability was really, really exposed by Tank Davis, and I think that is why, even in a rematch, Tank Davis still has a far advantage over Ryan Garcia, Ryan loves that left hook, which, don't get me wrong, it is one of the best left hooks in all of combat sports. It's so fast and it is powerful. But he doesn't put anything in front of it. He's not throwing jabs in front of it. He's just throwing it out there. And Tank Davis, all he had to do was wait for it and countered it every single time, dropped him twice off of the same left hook. And Ryan has a tendency to drop that right hand every single time he throws it. And
we see in that Haney fight, he's still dropping
he's still dropping it.
Still dropping
and
it.
Haney just – and that was another thing coming into this fight, is everyone talked about the power of Devin Haney. Does he have any power? Does he have pillow hands? Well, we saw he couldn't really hurt Ryan Garcia at all in this fight. And maybe you can attribute it a little bit to weight, with Ryan being slightly heavier going into the ring.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he couldn't even phase Ryan Garcia with any of the shots that he landed. We, you brought up earlier he landed one in the first round, and Ryan Garcia kind of screamed at him after getting hit. But I don't know if that was like a frustration thing or hyping himself up, but it just didn't seem like anything that Devin Haney landed really affected Ryan Garcia. And I think that was really the game plan for Ryan, was just let's go forward and let's go through him. And that's what happened. And
I think what's really interesting is that if Ryan Garcia was fighting anybody other than Devin Haney, I think he would have had real problems in that fight, especially with his defense of just turning around. It was just a really
the silly shell.
It wasn't even the silly shell, though, because he was trying the silly shell, and then from there, he was like, oh, this is not working. Let me just turn around. And then Devin Haney just started punching him in the body, and like you would see at times, there'd be clips, six punches just straight like pounding Ryan Garcia to the body. And I think if that's any other fighter, I mean, especially like a Tank Davis, one of those, and that's done. I think any other fighter, that's a real problem. It's just because Devin Haney, sadly, I think is a bit of a pillow puncher. Garcia was just kind of able to eat it. And I hate to say that Haney's a pillow puncher, but from what we've seen this fight, I think it confirms it.
Riley would be so mad. But yeah, I mean, like against a guy like Devin Haney, you'll probably get away with that. But Ryan Garcia, who he reminds me of most, he's like the Deontay Wilder of that division, right? Deontay Wilder, I've seen him fight. I've seen him fight in that Luis Ortiz fight, get off the canvas, and then Rocky style come back and knock out the guy to win. But he can't box. Ryan Garcia can't box. I think he could just fight. I've seen him come off the canvas against Luke Campbell, come back and get the knockout. He loves that left hook because he knows that's where his power lies. Every fighter has that one punch that's really, really their crutch. But, I mean, Ryan Garcia has to be able to really learn how to box. And he's working with Derrick James. I'm glad that he has Derrick James in his corner, because he used to train Errol Spence, who's one of the best boxer punchers in the entire world, after the fight with Bud Crawford. Let's see. But one of the best boxer punchers in the world. But Ryan really has to learn how to fight. I think he got away with it with Devin Haney. I thought Devin would be able to box him for 12. He came out of this one alive, but maybe not next time.
And that's what I'm thinking. I think the big thing out of the storyline is that we were expecting Ryan Garcia to get exposed in this fight, really kind of shown as like a celebrity more than a boxer. And we kind of got the opposite of that. He's kind of proved to himself that he is a professional and serious boxer, at least to a certain extent. But what comes with that, he needs to work on these techniques. And I'm very glad that he is, but I don't think it's all there yet.
You know what this sounds like to me?
What?
This sounds very much like the criticism on Jake Paul. He is a marketing genius here's the thing. Everybody coming into this fight is seeing, oh, Ryan's crazy. A lot of people are turning into this fight because they wanted to see, oh, if he's all there in the ring, if he's really going to be good. And I think that's the kind of marketing genius behind it, even though he took a little bit of a stranger route to get there. We see Jake Paul the same thing. Why are you guys tuning into a Jake Paul fight? Well, we want to see him lose. He's talking all this trash. He's fighting old retired MMA fighters, school bus drivers, Uber drivers. Anybody could get it with Jake Paul. And he's going out there and winning. And he's putting on events. He's making money. That's what Ryan Garcia did. And he, even though he seemed crazy before, he did everything he did before, he went out there and shocked the world. And I was talking about this a little bit earlier, too, about the notion of guys losing their zero in boxing and how much that affects a career, how much that affects people's perception of you as a fighter.
It doesn't.
And Ryan lost this fight last year, I believe, against Tank Davis. And everyone kind of thought, okay, he got exposed. That's it for Ryan Garcia. We're not going to see him in any more big fights. He comes back, has a somewhat mediocre performance in his next fight, breaks out the weird silly shell thing, and then he comes back and he beats Devin Haney. And now he's arguably, not even arguably, he is a bigger star than he was before he fought Tank Davis.
I think he's honestly the hottest commodity in lighter weight classes of boxing right now, 100%. I mean, more so than Devin Haney, more so than even Tank Davis at this point, just considering all the things heading into that fight and how they kind of delivered. And
coupling that with the fight that Ryan's the one who brings the fight to you, he calls you out on social media, like he also has a fighting heart, like I said 1,000 times before. Couple that with the fact that he's probably the hottest commodity. Ryan's like anybody who wants it could get it. So you're going to get the fights that you actually want to see. I mean, Ryan Garcia is right now the face of boxing. I thought I'd never say that.
But speaking of, what do you guys think is next for him? Because after a performance like that, after the promoting that went into it, It seems like you got to do the rematch.
You got to do a rematch.
I don't know if it's an immediate rematch. I think Devin Haney wants a rematch.
He definitely wants a rematch. I don't know if Ryan gives it to him because I think Ryan has any opportunity he wants right now after a fight like that. He could fight whoever he wants.
He called out Boots. I think
he called out Boots. He's called out several people since that fight.
I heard Boots and I was like, no. Okay.
Even the Tank rematch is something I think that interests him.
He even called out Sean O'Malley, which, I mean, O'Malley responded to that, which I found interesting.
He called him out to the cage, I think. He wants to take it to the octagon, which,
yeah,
Ryan,
not gonna go well.
You may have pretended you were crazy before, but that one is actually a little bit crazy.
Legitimately insane. But that's the thing, though. I'm thinking, like, you know, this is like a whole can of worms. I don't even want to open
like
this
who's
up.
Actually realistic? I don't even know.
I'll just ask you guys, do you think that fight has any real chance of being done? I'm not even saying in, like, the next couple months. I'm saying, like, the next, like, 3 years, four years.
I think there's potential, especially if Sean O'Malley can defend his belt, say, one or two more times. You kind of get him on that Conor McGregor trajectory of, hey, almost like an improbable champ. Hey, people didn't think Sean O'Malley was going to be champion one day. Well, guess what? He's champion now. If he goes and defends this belt, what's the next step? Well, he can go up for another belt or he could test the waters in boxing against another big star who's good at promoting him and Ryan Garcia. All I know is a press conference between them and all of the lead up to that fight would be pure entertainment. So I wouldn't want to see that.
Yeah. No, honestly, I think if he had the choice between moving up to 145 versus fighting in a boxing match, 100%, I think he's taking a boxing match. I think one, that's the bigger payday. Two, I think it stylistically matches up better for him. Because if we're realistically thinking about this, I mean, he'll either fight Topuria, potentially Max, potentially Volk, which that's a
very tough fight.
Way harder than Ryan Garcia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. To say the least. But I mean, before we kind of wrap up this, I mean, do you guys want to see anything else out of Ryan Garcia? I mean,
sometime down the future, if Devin like works his way back up, because I always say, an immediate rematch only ends in the same result, just quicker. Devin has a fighting heart, as I always say. He pushes the sport forward. The way he got up and took the belt, he put his ego aside. I think contender Devin Haney would be really, really fun. He goes back on that contender journey, beats a bunch of guys. And, I would like to see this fight again. Not immediately, but I'd like to see it again. Even a rematch against Tank. I would like to see that again, too. Maybe Ryan shocks the world for a second time. Who knows?
With a less dehydrated Ryan Garcia, I am very curious to see that fight.
Let me tell you something, because Tank cornered him. Because the whole point of the rehydration clause, some people say, is that you're scared.
Yeah.
That's why you put in the rehydration clause. But let's see.
And if you look at the pictures from that fight and this fight, Ryan was very visually.
Ryan looked like a shell of his former self compared to, you know, this fight.
This fight, yeah. We saw a completely different Ryan Garcia. But, I mean, not even talking about Ryan Garcia here, I think we need more of this in boxing because this was a huge weekend for boxing, a huge turnout, a lot of pay-per-view sales. The sport needs more of this. We need more of the bigger stars going head-to-head because in MMA, you have guys like Charles Oliveira, you have Alex Pereira, guys who have lost, if not more than one time. Charles Oliveira's lost, I think, 10 times in the octagon now, and he's one of the biggest stars on the face of the planet. Everyone's talking about, okay, Charles Oliveira, title run starts now, even after a loss to Armin Saryukian. He's still on that contenders list. And the thing in boxing is people are afraid of losing their zero
because
career's over at that point.
Because they think that the memory is within the numbers. The memory's not within the numbers. I know every time I watch Batman or a superhero movie, I know the superhero's going to win. That doesn't mean I'm not going to watch because the content, the memory is within the journey. Evander Holyfield has 10 losses, Ali 5. We saw Tyson go down to Buster Douglas. I mean, but they fought the best all the time. Multiple times. Sugar Ray Robinson's the greatest boxer of all time. 19 losses. Got knocked out like eight, like what? How many times in his career? But he's the best. Yeah. He's the best. We want to see the best guys fight the best guys all the time. It's that simple. Nobody cares about your O except for you.
Well, and I think a lot of fighters need to take this Ryan Garcia fight as an example because, I brought up before, he lost to Tank Davis. And all of a sudden, he comes back, keeps gunning for the top names. He gets this shot against Devin Haney, and all of a sudden, he may be the face of boxing now. And he lost last year to Tank Davis with a knockout.
And I think more than anything, I mean, you can put up as many wins and upset wins as you want and stuff like that, but I think what really talks in the boxing scene is money.
Yeah.
And, I mean, with Ryan Garcia and his whole antics and placing that bet and everything, he made a ton of money from that fight, and all the promoters made a ton of money. I know Devin Haney, he might not be the happiest from the outcome of that fight, but, I mean, he made a good chunk of change from that fight, and I know everyone in the boxing community kind of wants a fight like that now.
You know who started this? Floyd Mayweather. This is the Mayweather effect. Perfect boxing record, cherry-picked his guys that he wanted to fight. Floyd did have integrity. He beat world champions. The problem in boxing today is guys want to be Money Mayweather before they have their pretty boy phase. That's the thing. When he was younger, Floyd Mayweather was swatting. He was that body shot guy. He'll hit you in your body and he'll put you down. And then he bought himself out of Top Rank, made his own promotion, and all the money came flowing in through Tank. The problem is guys want their payday before. We don't know you. We know nothing about you. I'm not going to buy your pay-per-view. I'm going to steal it, and I'm going to go watch UFC. That's what's happening in boxing.
Yeah, you gotta take risks. The people want to see the best fight the best. And
all the time.
I mean, even going back to Floyd. Floyd fought Conor McGregor. I mean, that was crazy. Gave him a shot, but who knows? Conor could have hurt him. He didn't think he would have. Then he fought Pacquiao. And it's just going against big names like that and putting it all on the line because, in all honesty, when you're going against a guy who's as big as the sport as, say, a Ryan Garcia versus Devin Haney, if you lose that fight, the public perception of you afterwards isn't going to be the best, but it's the what if you win. Mm-hmm. And that could take you to a whole nother level, not just money-wise, but legacy-wise. People now are, everybody's talking about Ryan Garcia. Everybody wants that Ryan Garcia fight. And his next fight is only going to be bigger now than his last one.
I actually disagree to a certain point. I think you could actually win the hearts of people even if you lose. Like, Roberto Duran was the toughest guy. Win or lose, you loved Roberto Duran because he got in the ring and he fought for you. Again, it's not in the result. If you give me a fight like Tim Zhu versus Sebastian Fundora, like, we both love those guys. That was an incredible fight. I thought Tim Zhu won the fight, but Fundora came out on top. I'm still happy with both guys. I'm going to remember that fight for a very, very long time. Carmel Monton just started his professional career. That was a very fight. I think it's the kid's name is Cuba. Very, very fun fight, regardless of the winner. I mean, just win or loss, winning is the extra. But being an everyman, that's why we love Max Holloway so much and Justin Gaethje, because win, loss, or draw, they're going to put on a show every single time. And those are the guys that you remember.
Exactly. And it's not only the loss, but it's the comeback.
It's the comeback.
And Devin Haney now has an opportunity to come back and come back stronger and show the world who he is again, because people are very quick to forget how good Devin Haney is. And there was a point where he was undisputed champion and everybody was talking about him as the best fighter in the world. And he's just got to come back now and not be afraid to call somebody out big. Get a big name out there and get his groove back. And if he wants to do that, he can become a big star again. Ryan just proved he could do it and he can bounce back in a big way.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, we'll see what's, you know, next for both of these guys. And honestly, I do think that Haney needs kind of a gritty fight next fight out to really show that he's still, you know, serious about being a champion, or at least just a dominant performance at the very least. But one last thing I do want to talk about before wrapping up this episode is some news coming out of UFC 300. It's pretty interesting. We mentioned Armin Saryukin earlier in this episode, and he's in some hot water with the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Him and Diego Lopez are both having their purse withheld for the time being. There's a hearing later today on the actual grounds of what's going to be happening, if they're going to continue their UFC career, if they're going to get their payment. I'm pretty clear on the Armin Saryukin situation. Obviously, I mean, for fans out there, they know that in his walkout to UFC 300, he ended up punching a fan who ended up pushing him, which obviously is not the greatest thing to do as a professional fighter. It seemed like it was going to kind of blow over, but obviously it hasn't now, especially with his purse being withheld. But for Diego Lopez, I don't know if you could maybe
tell me the situation. I think the main complaint is that he hopped the cage after his win, and apparently this wasn't approved before the fight. Yeah. I didn't know this is something that had to be approved. Everybody jumps the cage. I think Max Holloway jumped the cage after he got his knockout. I think that's ridiculous. I feel like that should and it will be overturned. Diego Lopez deserves his purse, especially after a performance like he put out there. But as a fan sitting in the crowd, these are professional fighters amped up, getting ready to go fight in one of the biggest events of all time, and you're going to grab or push them as they're walking out? Come on. You can't do that. I guess you're maybe looking for a check and maybe getting caught with a right hook by one of the faces of the UFC could get you there. But you don't want to mess with a fighter in that moment.
I mean, Armin Saryukin is not only jacked. I used to watch his interviews on YouTube, and he's like, the craziest thing to me in here in America is like, people could talk like smack to you, and you can't hit them back. Like, screws are not fair all the way with Armin Saryukin. And I did believe I saw the guy provoke him first. He kind of flinched at him, and then Armin threw the punch, and I was like, well, that's not going to be good, but... come on, like, what are
I'm
we doing?
Willing to give Armin the benefit of doubt, because, yeah. I mean, think about it in his mind. I mean, obviously that fan wants his 5 seconds of fame and everything like that. It's UFC 300. He feels like he's going to make a moment, something like that. But thinking about it, Armin, from Armin's perspective, you're about to fight the number one pound-for-pound guy in lightweight, almost get a title shot. I mean, if you win this fight, you potentially get a title shot. And it's UFC 300, the biggest event in the past 8 years of the UFC. So you're walking out there as focused as you potentially can be. And then out of nowhere, you have someone pushing you. I mean, I could totally see it being believable just to enter fight or flight and just kind of make a move before even thinking about it. But also to that same extent, you are a professional fighter. You have to know when to hold your punches.
Yeah.
It sucks. I know. It's that people say that. Oh, I hate responsibility. You have to, like... let me punch this dude in the face.
That wasn't the only time the night. In that night, though, where a fan messed with the fighter walking out. Even during Charles' walkout, somebody grabbed his arm and yanked him over as he's walking to the octagon. And I don't know if the UFC maybe needs to change something in terms of security or something needs to happen, because people should not be grabbing fighters as they are walking out to an octagon.
Yeah, it's just tough because, I mean, you want to have all those fans, like, right on the walkout so, you know, the fighters can high-five them and feel, like, the energy of the crowd. I feel like it's hard to vet those guys that are going to be, like, right there if they're going to be, you know, crazy or not, if they're going to try to make a move or
not. You can't have it both ways. I mean, like, if you're going to have fans there, this is what you take the good with the bad, essentially. In terms of the Diego Lopez thing, like, don't be baseball. That's what I say when I want something not to be boring. Don't be baseball. Yeah. Like, baseball, this is something that baseball will do. I remember Nick Castellanos getting suspended because he, like, celebrated or something. But don't be baseball. Like, leave Diego Lopez alone.
There's so much emotion after a fight, especially after a moment like that. Yeah. He hopped the cage. He didn't do anything. He didn't hurt anybody. He didn't throw anything into the crowd. He jumped the cage, like, every other fighter does after a big moment.
If they find him, I'm going to be genuinely upset, because every fighter does that. Exactly what you're saying, Zach. I think the bigger thing here, though, is Armin Saryukin. Because, I mean, we have seen, you know, people get cut from the UFC for doing kind of weird things before.
The talk
is
a ban right now.
Yeah, we could bring it back to Igor Severino doing that bite.
A little bit different.
No, very, 100% very different. But I'm just saying that consequences in the ring, even outside the octagon, can lead to, you know, your entire UFC career being over.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Igor Severino, that was exactly what happened. Do you think the same could potentially happen for Armin Saryukin? Because, I mean, he's in an interesting spot. He's the number one contender in the lightweight division. One of the most exciting divisions in the UFC.
Yeah, too big to fail. I mean, like, Dana loves money above all else, and he's not going to cut a guy for something as small, we'll say, as that. Igor Severino, I think, was... I don't want to say collateral damage, because he's not a guy that is forthcoming in your mind when you talk about the best UFC fighters in the world. But that's a guy that was just getting started. Wasn't that his debut in the UFC, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
That was his debut in the UFC. Armin Saryukin has been here for a while, and now he's the number one contender. You know what the real problem is in all this? His name is not Ronda, Brock, or Connor. Yeah. That's why he's getting all this flack. If his name was any of those three... I mean, Dana would probably pay him for doing that.
Hey, even Sean Strickland had a little fight week issues down in Australia when he was fighting Izzy. Apparently, he fought a fan that week. But
Sean's also a different star.
That was also a big controversy. I don't know if you guys remember. He almost got, like, deported for that. Like, he had a real, like, that was, like, a serious brush-up, so... Yeah, I don't know. I'm very interested
They may need to have a sign now in the stands, almost like we're baseball, where it's like, watch out for flying bats and flying balls. Watch out for right hands and left hooks as the fighters are walking to the
watch
octagon.
Watch out for Superman punches.
No, but to be honest, I mean, the MMA crowds do have to get a little bit better. Come on, guys. You can't.
Have
you
some
can't
respect
throw,
for the fighters.
Seriously. It's such a big moment, such an emotion-filled moment that you can't mess with them as they're walking out to this, and we keep saying it over and over again. Why would you provoke somebody in a scenario like that? But I guess he wanted Conor tickets because that's what he tweeted after the fight. Hey, I'm not going to sue, but let me get some tickets, Dana, to see Conor McGregor fight. So at the same time, I see where he's coming from.
Yeah. No, I mean, trust me, if I was that fan 100%, I'm not going to sue. Just give me some Conor McGregor tickets. I'll be a happy man. That's it. That's it. I mean, honestly, I'm very interested to see what the results of this hearing are. If I had to bet, I would probably say both of them are just going to get fined. I think Armin Saryukin's probably going to be a bit more severe. But I don't know. We might see something like crazy here. I mean, because we can go all the way back to Nevada State Athletic Commission's weird choices with UFC. I mean, Nick Diaz got banned for life.
Yeah. 5 years. 5 years. It wasn't for life.
Well, no, initially it was for life. He appealed it, and then it was 5 years. Yeah, just for
marijuana.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. Compared to actual PEDs. But yeah, I mean, we'll just have to wait in a couple hours and see what actually ends up happening. But I think that just about wraps up this episode of Pound for Pound. Make sure to check out the UFC Fight Night on Saturday and our preview of UFC 301 next week. Before I go, I want to give a huge thanks to my always great co-hosts, Zach Cordova and Mahdi Dembele, and a huge shout-out to our producer this week, Kurt Sippel. I've been Andrew Craneri, and Pound for Bound is a production of WFUV Sports.